Just what is a trending topic?
A trending topic is a word or phrase that is tagged at a greater rate than other tags.
This is a trending topic.
Hashtag tunes.
Stop growing up and grow down with Jack and Brian as they rejoin the Trending Topics Network.
Hashtag tweet the table.
Get ready to have your face slammed through a table of wrestling knowledge as Captain Awesome and T-Mac bring you the Spanish Announce Table.
Hashtag Weekend Box Office.
Join Mr. Old School and his panel of critics as they are your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news.
Hashtag Mobile Technology.
Take a bite out of the mobile space on trending mobile technology as Piper the DJ breaks down iOS, Microsoft, BlackBerry, and many things in between. This is the brand new Trending Topics Network.
Better check in every day.
Because you never know what's going to be trending next.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Where that man is fucking an animal.
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 98 for November 13th, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like the Spanish Announce Table, Trending Mobile Technology, and Tunes. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School, and before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com, or you could tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies, D-O-T-net, hashtag O-S-A-T-M. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. 78 episodes in a row, Mr. Heavy Set.
That man is fucking an animal.
Hey, you got it down, man. It's good. We have Carp.
Howdy ho.
We have Kebo Trek.
Howdy.
And live in studio, Izza.
Hello.
Let's get into the news for this week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
All right, we're going to start with my new story. Heavy Set's going to comment. Suicide Squad is eyeing this Oscar winner to play the Joker. Apparently, they want Jared Leto. I mean, it's going to be really difficult to replace Heath Ledger. He pretty much owned the role. I think he did even better job than Nicholson did. And I know people might disagree with me on that. But, you know, he got an Academy Award for a Batman movie. That's how well this guy did. Even anybody replacing him makes me feel uncomfortable, but Jared Leto is a great actor. I mean, if you've seen Dallas Buyers Club, he plays like a cross-dresser, and he owns that. He's played several great roles. So I could see him being the Joker. It's not going to be Ledger, but I think it's going to be good enough. What do you think, Heavyset?
I think regardless of who played any other role like that, it's just best to put the thought of how what they did away, because it was the same similar story when Heath Ledger took over, because I remember, you know, being pumped for the Nolan series in general, and then when they actually started working on The Dark Knight and everything, and they cast Heath Ledger, it was like people were going, oh my god, this is a guy that was in 10 Things I Hate About You and all these other stuff, and how is he going to manage to hold up against Jack Nicholson? And granted, it could have been because of his death of how popular that was, but he hit a home run, and it's going to be just whether the direction that this particular actor and director want to go with it. And I think with the Joker, there's so many ways that you could really play this role, but like I said, it's just going to depend on the kind of actually goes more or less the director.
Here's the thing with Ledger, right? Like, I don't know about you guys, but there was only one time during that movie where I actually realized it was Heath Ledger. I'm looking at the character and I'm like, I couldn't tell it was Heath Ledger. The only scene I could tell is when he was in the jail cell. And it, like, you could, okay, no, it's Heath Ledger. But apart from that, when I was looking at the previews and stuff, I did not know it was him. I mean, for him to go from Brokeback Mountain to, like, the Joker. It just shows the unbelievable talent that this guy had. So, yes, Leto's great. He's got some big shoes to fill. I do agree with the director thing. It depends, you know, how this is played. But Leto has the chops, but he's got some big shoes to fill.
When you say jail cell, do you mean like when he was actually in the jail cell or when he was getting interrogated?
No, when he was in the jail cell by himself.
Because that's actually funny, because the part for me is when he was getting interrogated. Maybe it's because of the light or whatnot, but it kind of that's when I know I looked at him as like, okay, this is Heath Ledger playing the Joker. This isn't a Joker. And I've always said that's what really makes a movie too. If you watch a movie and the actor's doing so good of a job, you don't look at him as that actor playing that character. You look at it as that character. I think another examples for me is Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump. Okay. I don't look at that as Tom Hanks. And oddly enough, because I just think of how well he did, it'll be the best role he's ever going to have. But David Spade as Joe Dirt.
David Spade as Joe Dirt. You're using David Spade as Joe Dirt comparing Heath Ledger as Joker.
Because when I watch that, I don't look at it as that's David Spade. I look at it as this character.
I look at it like this movie's a piece of shit. Sorry.
But I think, you know, he has to put his own spin on it. Part of what made Heath Ledger's Joker so good was that he didn't try to mimic what Nicholson did, or he didn't try to copy it. So if Jared's able to kind of put his own spin on it while not trying to copy what the previous two did, I think it'll be successful.
Do you think he's going to go a bit after like Hamill's Joker? Like the cartoon one with the
I know a lot of people were saying like that's their favorite version of Joker.
That's Will's favorite version. Will has no idea what Batman is. So and I can bash him because he's not on the show today.
That Joker, though, Mark Hamill's voice acting for that Joker is spectacular.
I mean, if anything, he can kind of play into that or kind of do his own twist. You know, he's got, depending on the director, he's going to have the ability to do that. Let's throw it to Cart. Let's give you a new story for this week.
For this week, it's been finalized for the cast of Tarantino's Hateful Eight. As everybody knows, the script had already leaked, and so Tarantino and the Weinsteins decided to go ahead and actually make the film. The Weinstein Company announced today that an incredible list of top acting talent has come on board to star in Academy Award-winning writer/director Quentin Tarantino's upcoming post-Civil War Western. This is an actual Western, Keith.
Not Lawless.
Not Lawless.
I got blasted for that.
The Hateful Eight will be Academy Award nominee Samuel L. Jackson as Major Marquis Warren. Golden Globe nominee Kurt Russell.
That guy's in everything.
As John the Hangman Ruth. Golden Globe nominee Jennifer Jason Leigh as Daisy DeMergue. Emmy nominee Walton Goggins as Chris Mannix. Academy Award nominee Demian Bichir, as Bob. Academy Award nominee Tim Roth as Oswald Mombre. Michael Madsen as Joe Gage. And Academy Award nominee Bruce Stern as General Sadford Smithers. Also,
did they just get people that they couldn't pronounce? Like, we're going to get every name that we can't fucking pronounce and just cast them in this movie.
Also, Channing Tatum has signed on for a role in the project.
Jesus.
So this will be Lee, Bichir's, and Tatum's first film with Tarantino, while the rest have already worked with him.
To take that, Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, that's a hell of a cast.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Jackson, hopefully he didn't get miscast as, you know, maybe they thought it was Lawrence Fishburne there, but. But no, honestly, Jackson's in everything. He's a great talent. Even Channing Tatum, you know, depending on the role he's in, he can bring it. No, it's definitely a good cast.
What I've heard, Tatum and Foxcatcher, like, people are really impressed by his acting in Foxcatcher with, what's his name? 40-year-old virgin guy.
Steve Carell,
yeah. So Steve Carell and Channing Tatum, like, people were freaking out at Sundance over this film, but how good it was. And Jackson in any Tarantino movie's been awesome, so.
For anybody who doesn't know The Hateful Eight, can you give us a quick synopsis?
The Hateful Eight is basically set 6, 8, or 12 years after the Civil War. A stagecoach hurtles through the wintry Wyoming landscape. The passengers, bounty hunter John Ruth, played by Russell, and his fugitive Daisy DeMergue, Jennifer Jason Leigh, race toward a town of Red Rock. So Kurt Russell's character is known as the Hangman, and he's supposed to bring DeMergue to justice. Apparently they all end up holed up at some place. And all eight travelers come to learn they may not make it to Red Rock after all.
The only thing with Quentin Tarantino, he's very, like, it's very one-sided.
It's all
script-based. Yeah, for sure. But it means, like, okay, Nazis are really, really, really bad, and we're going to just fucking decapitate and murder the shit out of them. And then, yeah, against Django, like, slave owners. Like, nobody's rooting except for a couple people in the South, but nobody's going for the slave owners, you know what I mean? So it's like he takes, like, the most hated people and just fucking massacres them.
But he didn't start out like that. I mean, Reservoir Dogs was just, you know, these guys in a diner and then in the place after the bank robbery. I think it's going to be in the year of that, more or less, where these people are going to be stuck in this giant, like, stagecoach stopover, and people are going to find out the truth about each other and start fucking killing each other.
Murder is...
I'm looking forward to it. I didn't read the leaked script because I don't want to ruin anything for myself, but I'm looking forward to it from what I've read, and the cast looks spectacular for Tarantino.
Anybody on the panel, would you read the leaked script? Is that something you'd have to kind of see before you see the movie, or do you not want to be spoiled?
I just want to read a script in general. I mean, what are you really going to take away from it?
Yeah, so it could be rewritten, and also... Yeah, to me it ruins the whole thing. Like,
and it's not like it's where it's a book where you're kind of getting like a whole story. Well, you're getting the whole story, but in a lot less detail. This, it's mostly you're just going to be reading the dialogue between everyone, probably without too much context. So I don't think there's really a point to it.
Yeah, if you're not trying to cast for the role, I don't really see the motivation or the purpose to do that. All right, Kev, while we have you on the line, let's get our last news story for this week.
Our last news story for the week is Matt Damon confirms next Bourne film plans.
I heard an oh god from Izzy there. Are you interested in this?
No, when are they going to stop?
What do you mean? What's wrong? I mean, the first three were fantastic.
What are you talking about? You know, filmmaker Paul Shaky Cam Greengrass, looking forward to his craptasticness again.
Fuck you. Yeah. Hold on a second. This is the only iteration that I think Shaky Cam works. I mean, the Captain America is going to barf. Because
Matt Damon can't fight.
Well, he could fight with the shaky cam.
To me, it's all the same thing, movie after movie. It's like,
Here's the thing. They actually made it look good. And when I was watching it, I got into it. I didn't care it was shaky cam. That they got to make it like that instead of like, oh, I'm on a porch in Interstellar. I'm sitting on a porch and there's shaky cam. What the fuck?
But it's not only about the shaky cam itself. It seems like they're going the safe route the entire time. Every single
what are you
movie?
Talking about? It's an action-driven, hour-and-a-half, action-packed, fucking car chases, shooting, real fighting scenes, like fun, like realism. Here's the thing. When you watch the Bourne movies, this can theoretically happen in real life. Like the stuff that happens when he's jumping out the windows and car chasing, it's very realistic. And when I'm looking at it, I'm like, somebody could possibly pull that off.
Right.
As in James Bond, people jumping out of planes and they're fucking shooting people with metal teeth and all this shit. You know what I mean? This is – it's realistic. That's why it's my favorite action series of all time.
Is it really?
The Bourne series, yes. I watch it and I absolutely love it for the realism. Kev, I'm sorry I cut you off. Why don't you read the news story for
there's
this?
Not really much to read. It's just that they're both going to return. It's going to come out in 2016. And I kind of agree with Izza.
Da, 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 da.
I mean, we had three movies.
Ooh, son of a bitch.
We had three movies. They were fantastic.
Yes.
But it kind of had its ending, and now we're going to be going back to the story.
Well, here's the thing. Jeremy Renner, right? Like, it didn't work. And I heard he said he didn't want to do a fourth one, but there is a massive demand for it. People want to see him reprise the role, and I think if the script is good, I see no issue with it. Why mess with something that works? It's a franchise.
How about creating a new trilogy that is based on it? Like, the idea is the same, but the story is completely different. Like, a different parallel.
They did
that
with Jeremy Renner, and it fell flat in its face.
Well, you could do it, try again. But don't go again with the Bourne thing. Like, what are they going to do? 18 Fast and Furious like they did? You know?
Yeah,
like,
and that makes – you know how much money that makes, that franchise?
Unoriginal.
The movie – okay. Let me kit you up to speed on the movie industry. They fund stuff that makes money. If this makes money, they're going to fund the shit out of it. That's why they're doing it. But I have no issue with it because I love the franchise.
The thing is, what if this movie sucks?
It won't.
But what if it does?
It won't.
Let's come back here in a year.
Okay. Put it in the Red Book. November 11, 2014. I am saying the next Bourne movie will be fucking amazing. It's going to make a shit ton of money, and I'm going to make Kev Bocek look like a douche.
Okay, but
guys, write it down.
But have you been keeping track of all these movie bets you've been making with us?
Yes, I have. And when we do the end of year in review coming up at the end of November. It's going to be released end of December. We're going to play back our predictions, and Carp, you're going to be surprised, but you made a couple of mistakes.
Oh, what? Never, always.
Oh, no, yeah, Kebo Trek as well.
I never make mistakes.
So, well, I'm going to play them in your ear so you can listen to all your mistakes. Anyways, yeah, great idea.
No.
All right.
I agree.
Heavy, what do you think, man?
I've never seen any of the Bourne movies.
What?
I think he's my new best friend.
What fucking rock in Ohio inbred mayonnaise-eating sandwiches do you live, man?
Don't knock the mayonnaise. Don't knock the mayonnaise sandwich until you try it. Okay,
they're fantastic, by the way. With a bit, a little bit of salt and pepper, they're good.
Heavy's too busy with his whole "look at my Cleveland Browns being successful this year."
You just went over majority of the panel's head with that reference.
Yeah.
Football? What's that?
There's colors that come from city. What?
All right, thank you guys. Let's get into the movie review of the week. Before we get into Interstellar, has anybody seen Big Hero 6? No. Okay. We'll save that for next week. Actually, that's a kid's movie I actually want to see. Do you want to see that?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to go.
I don't know what it is, but I'll go.
It's the giant white, like, cloudy, or like, it looks like the Michelin Man, but without the tire things.
Okay.
And he's like, he's got a big gut, and he's like walking around, and then he deflates, and he's got to put, I'm totally not doing it justice. But it's like a cartoon. Anyways, yeah. Okay, I'll go if you go.
On a side note, I don't know how many kids' movies I'll be seeing from now on because me and my girlfriend broke up a couple weeks ago. So, yeah.
Sorry,
oh,
man.
Oh, no.
That sucks.
Yeah, it was before we recorded the last episode.
Oh, fuck, man. Sorry to hear that.
Listen, it's all right.
If you want to come over, man, we'll watch some kids' movies. Be total fucking creepers.
Let me Let me start the paperwork on the passport, and I'll get back to you.
That would be great. Old school, Heavy with the giant beard, and me with my creepy child molester mustache for November, all going to see a kids movie together.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
You just look creepy in general, but with the November mustache.
It. You love it. You shut your mouth.
Wow. Okay.
Is he talking to me or you?
I don't know. I'm kind of scared, man. I feel very vulnerable right now. All right. Yeah, let's not do that. And let's get into our review of Interstellar. I'm going to give it to Carp because we went to go see it in IMAX this week, last week.
Interstellar. Week. Let's see. I had higher hopes for it. Visually spectacular. Could have chopped off easily an hour of the movie, as in 3 hours was way too freaking long.
Wow. Yeah.
On the IMAX, the audio, like the music part was way overpowering of the talking sometimes, which is a little frustrating because I couldn't.
You know why? It's because you decided that we should sit right in the fucking front.
Hey.
I'm quoting Carp, but not right in the front, but like near the middle front. I'm quoting Carp, okay? I'm like, let's sit in the back. He's like, I don't think we'll be able to see from the back. Do you know how big the IMAX screen is? I can see it from my house here.
You mean
from downtown?
You mean to tell me that you had the choice to sit in the back, but he purposely made you sit
in the front? So I had to stretch and break my neck.
I thought we were two rows further back above.
You know how fucking big the screen is—the size of a football field—and he's like, I don't know if we can see it.
Jesus,
what the? Anyways, go ahead.
I mean, American football field or Canadian football field? Aren't those two different sizes?
The Canadian ones are bigger.
Both of them combined.
Yeah. It's like, if you can't see it, you have a major fucking vision issue.
It wasn't the visual part. It was the audio part. It was like...
Yeah, but if you sit farther back, it's not going to be
except
as...
Except for the giant speakers at the back of the cinema.
Go ahead.
The acting was really good. I don't want to spoiler anything, but unexpected cameo if you hadn't read anything.
Hell yeah. Speaking of... No, I wasn't saying
that. Who also did a fabulous job. I liked the whole concept of how time was different for planets versus Earth because they were like near a black hole, which explains like the time.
Spoiler alert.
See in the trailer how they're like the child grows up. So yeah. That was, you know, I liked like 90% of it except for I had higher hopes. I thought it was going to be better. To me, it was not. Inception was a better film of his so far.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a 7.5 thousand foot waves out of 10. Nope, no, it's not a spoiler alert. It's in the freaking trailer.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, crap. A carp. Let's get into my review. Okay, I had very high hopes for this movie. I predicted it was going to be the greatest movie of all time. Unfortunately, I fell a little short on that. It was fantastic, though. The storyline is fantastic. If you are a sci-fi fan, you have to see this movie. It is fantastic. It deals with things that I will not reveal because I don't want to spoil anything, but the subject that they discuss is the best iteration that I've seen on film in my life, and I just love that. McConaughey really brought it with his acting. You know, it wasn't like, oh, we'll take our shirts off in Texas and have a barbecue. You know, he brought it. I believed he was an engineer. I actually believed he was an engineer. It was fantastic. The graphics, the imagery on IMAX is fantastic. The sound is fantastic, even though Carp doesn't like to be too close to the sound. I thought it was fine. And the main theme, you can't get it out of your head. After you listen, after you're going to be listening in your head, you're going to be like, I want to hear this again. And you're going to be dreaming it. It's fantastic. And that way, I do agree, it was very long. It was 3 hours. And, you know, there's some movies like Wolf of Wall Street that you don't notice the time fly by. This one you really do notice. And if you have a weak bladder, you're in trouble because you're going to have to.
The entire thing. What?
I do not understand.
How did you make it through?
Because no, I had one break. I had one break. And usually Carp doesn't. Usually Carp takes about 15 bathroom breaks within
the
hour.
That's if I'm drinking booze. If I'm just drinking soda, I'm good.
Yeah, I was surprised. I figured you're going to be peeing up a storm or peeing in your seat or something.
I didn't even have to use runpee.com. Didn't even have to.
You should totally use RimPee is awesome, by the way. But yeah, I unfortunately could not make it. And I was about halfway through and I'm like, should I hold it? No. And then like, no, it's, if you have a weak bladder, do not sit in the middle of a packed theater watching this movie. It is fantastic though. I give it 8.5. I don't want to spoil anything. 8.5. All right. Out of 10. If you are a sci-fi fan, go check it out. Let's get into the weekend box office for this week. All right, Carp, break down the numbers for us for this week.
So taking number one, maybe a surprising to some, but not surprising to most, I would assume, is Big Hero 6, pulling in $56.2 million on a $165 million budget. Less than half that overseas, or foreign numbers, with 23. So they've made 84. It will make its money back in the end, I'm pretty damn sure. Coming in second place is the other big release this week of Interstellar, pulling in $47.5 million. On a $165 million budget. However, the foreign numbers were huge at $82.9 million. So, guys, why do you think Hero 6 beat out Interstellar?
This is tough. I think people might have been a bit confused about the movie. You know, maybe the sci-fi stuff went over their head a bit, and it's not a popular topic. But I think enough people saw Chris Nolan, and that's why it made 50 domestic. He might have a bigger draw worldwide. Yeah, my best guess is just went over people's heads. And you know, Big Hero 6 was well marketed. It's going to appeal to non-kid movie fans. Like, even I saw it and I thought it was kind of cool to see. So I think Big Hero 6 had the better general appeal, in my opinion.
Is it Kembo heavy thoughts?
To me, it's kid movie. When a kid movie is marketed well enough, you're going to get these type of numbers because the kids are going, I want to see this. The parents look at it and go, you know what? That looks pretty good. And you got different range of families going to go see it. Some it's maybe a single parent with a single child, or of two parents going with three children. And the more you get from one household like that, I mean, that's what's going to bring the numbers up. And it's a Disney movie that's also connected with the same people that brought you Frozen and Wreck-It Ralph 2. Really great movies of the past couple of years. So they see that and they go, well, this is going to be just as good as those. Let's go see this. Let's have a family day. There you go.
Izzy, you were saying.
Actually, I didn't have any opinion until he spoke. And I think he's right. Because everybody got so excited with Frozen and all those Disney movies, I think people were probably still in the hype. So they just rushed to the theaters, and that's why it made more money.
I hate to say it because it's a Chris Nolan movie, but it was a bit more niche, and I think that did have an effect on it, especially because the trailer wasn't super clear.
So anyways, now we have for 6 weeks strong remaining in the top five is Gone Girl, pulling in another $6.2 million. We've already mentioned the budget before, $61 million, so a total gross of $145 million. This is remaining strong, and I think it's going to be in the top five again next week. Yay or nay on that comment.
It's got legs. I want to definitely see it now, just because all the buzz.
You still haven't seen it yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
Jesus!
On my list.
We should go Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, I'm up for it.
Okay.
Gone Girl.
I'll get my passport.
I'll come too.
Get your passport. Come on,
if you do it rush, you could get it within a week.
I know people.
Number four, we have the movie about a Hasbro board game, Ouija, pulling in another $5.8 million, total of $43. Yeah, Universal is super happy about this number. Budget of $5, that's ridiculous. Rounding at the top five is Fury still, 4 weeks strong, pulling in another $5.6 for a total of $69 million. I believe the foreign numbers are still pretty weak at only $51. They still made some good money on a Brad Pitt World War II movie. Number six is St. Vincent. It's a Bill Murray joint, pulling in $5.4 million for a total of $27 million 5 weeks. Number seven is Nightcrawler. Jake Gyllenhaal as a creepy filmography student. Weekend gross was $5.3 for a total of $19 million on an $8.5 million budget. Number eight is John Wick with $4.1 million, total of $34 on $20 million budget. I'm sure Lionsgate is very happy about that. Number nine, a children's movie, Alexander and the blah, 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 bad day. $3.5 million, 59 total. And to round out the top 10, we have The Book of Life, an animated film from Fox. $2.7 million for a total of $45 on a $50 million budget. Fox is not happy with that, I bet.
I could imagine. Yeah, no, it's very, very disappointing for Fox.
$34 million foreign, though.
So. Yeah, you know, yeah. All right, thank you very much, Karp. Let's get into upcoming movies for this week. I think this is going to be a popular choice for most people. I have no interest in seeing this. I'm not a fan, but I know I'm in the minority. Dumb and Dumber 2.
Here he is again. Almost 2 decades and he still comes.
How you doing, buddy? Brought you your favorite candies.
Come on, Lloyd. You got to get over her. Mary Samsonite was just a girl.
That's it, kid. Come on, come on, come on. Spit it out.
God, yeah!
Wait a minute. So you mean you have been faking for 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
And it was all for a gag?
Yep.
That's awesome!
Oh. Why don't you roll me inside? We'll get the nurse to take the catheter out of me.
We don't need nurses for that.
But don't you have to...
No! Oh, God.
I like what you've done with the place. Who's this?
Oh, that's Butthole. I found him out in the alley.
Why'd you name him Butthole?
Because of this.
Good name. Totally fits.
It's a postcard from Freda Felcher. Harry, I'm pregnant. Please call me.
What do you think it means, Harry?
Lloyd, I'm going to be a dad.
Ah!
Look at the postmark. 1991.
I had a daughter. I gave her up for adoption. What if we go track her down?
You're hot for my daughter.
What?
Am I right?
What?
Am I right?
Alaka Allah.
I know she'll appreciate all the trouble you've gone to find her. Let's call her.
It's ringing.
Whoever this is, we're in the middle of something very important here.
This is your dad.
What? Hey, guys, I know this is weird timing, but I got to take this. It's my dad.
She's got me on hold.
Mikey?
Yeah, Grant?
I've got the diamonds.
Mikey's listening.
They're underneath me.
Did you hide them inside this turkey?
They're just above the giblets.
There's no diamonds in here.
And you're not my grandson.
Harry, she's got me. She's really clamping down.
Ah! You can cross that one off your bucket list.
Hey, let's get panel thoughts. Kebo Trek, your name.
Jim Carrey, I loved all of his early stuff. Then he became serious and, you know, not as much. I didn't start liking his stuff. But I love this kind of stuff from him. I wish he had stayed in the genre or at least not completely abandoned it. So I'm a definite yay.
He had a couple of comedies between. What was the one with, there was Yes Man, but there was another one. They were like a couple.
Me, Myself, and Irene?
Yeah, so I mean, he's done a couple of those.
No, but that was like, that was, I consider that part of when he was still doing those kind of movies.
Right.
And okay. He kind of went away from it, but I absolutely, the first one is one of my favorite comedies of all time, so I'm a definite yay here.
It just seems like he's going back to the well a little too late. But, I mean, it's going to make money. People have nostalgia for this franchise. I think he still has a little bit left in the tank. I think it's a cash grab. It's a nay for me because I wasn't a huge fan of the first one. Carp, yay or nay?
Oh, I'm a hell yay. I was looking forward to this when they announced it first time and then the second time. And then finally, you know, they actually started filming. There's supposed to be a bunch of surprise cameos from people from the last one 20 years ago. And in an interview in Maxim, they asked the Farrelly brothers why it took them 20 years. And they said, well, all our comedies are going to take 20 years for sequels. We may actually see, like, what was the one they did after? Was it Me, Myself, and Irene? Where I know they did Kingpin. Oh, Hall Pass. That's it. That was the more recent one. And they said they were joking around how they're going to take 20 years to make each sequel as long as their actors are still alive by then.
Didn't they do something about Mary, or am I thinking of someone else?
They've done a lot, man. Let's see what the IMDb says. Well, Heavy's getting back online.
Yeah, so let's throw it to our new panelist, Izza. Is this a year nay for you?
It's probably going to be a nay for me. I wasn't a fan of the first one, but I'm also a girl, so.
Yeah, but girls go to see stupid movies.
I'm not a big fan of stupid movies.
Okay.
Yeah, they did Something About Mary, Me, Myself, and Irene, Shallow Hal, more recently Hall Pass, and the Three Stooges remake, which was pretty terrible.
Oh, God.
It would be kind of cool, though, if they actually did make remakes every 20 years.
Oh, that would be cool. Sequel.
Oh, sorry, sequel.
Sequel
sorry.
Every 20 years, yeah.
That'd be funny.
Heavy set, your name.
This one's a yay for me, but it's been a very, very long time since I've actually seen the first Dumb and Dumber. As much as I like Jim Carrey back then, to me, like, his highlights were The Mask and Ace Ventura. And I just never was that much into Dumb and Dumber, but I still do want to see this.
All right, go next to OSATM feedback.
You never go ass to mouth.
You've never gone ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
I've never gone ass to mouth.
Izza, you never go ass to mouth.
Never go ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
You never go ass to mouth.
There we go. Never. Not even.
Not even the heat of the moment?
Not even the heat of the moment. Okay, maybe sometimes. The heat of the moment. All right. Mop Jockey starts off. At least 29 superhero films are coming in the next 6 years. He links a Mashable article. He asks, is it overkill? I say yes. They're just cashing in on the phenomenon, but I think at the end of this, after 5 years, I think comic book superhero movies are going the way of the 90s action film. They will be oversaturated and they will die. Agree, disagree?
Disagree. I don't think it's overkill because generally the movies have been well made, whereas with action movies, let's be honest, they were very shallow and very hollow movies. It was just a bunch of explosions where I think they're doing a lot better job on the whole of adding substance to the movies. And I think people are still excited for comic book movies.
Yeah, but we're talking 6 years from now after 30 of these have been done, Iron Man 15 and Superman 45. You know what I mean? At some point, aren't people going to get sick of this stuff?
It's possible, but I think just with the way Marvel and DC are doing things, people are just, they're excited for it. And maybe, yeah, that excitement will fade, but I think we got a while before that'll happen.
Brian from Toons tweets, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is produced by Mutant Enemy. Meanwhile, Disney can't call Marvel characters mutants. Hashtag OSATM.
If Brian noticed in, was it Winter Soldier, where they showed Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch? The German Hydra guy calls them Miracles. That's the thing with, I believe it's Fox who owns X-Men, whereas Mutant Enemy is just a production company owned by, I believe, Mr. Wheaton. So that's why they're allowed to do it.
Will from Old School to Movies. By the way, he just got married this week. Congratulations to Will, if you're listening.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
What's his name?
His name is...
No, I meant his new husband's name.
Oh, yes. His new husband's name is Gallifrey.
As in Han Solo.
As in Gallifrey Solo.
Cock talk.
Respect the cock.
Cock talk writes, hashtag OSATM, who is the hottest actress of all time and in what movie?
To me right now, Ava Green in the new Sin City. She just looked so good. It was ridiculous. And she's very attractive already, so.
Kelly Hu in The Mummy Returns.
Really?
I don't know. I'm a fan of Kelly Hu. How about Cameron Diaz in the first Mask, or The Mask.
He says of all time, not of one movie, and then getting looking decrepit.
But that was kind of what I was, the choices I had, that's what I was kind of thinking about.
How about Scarlett Johansson in
Everything?
In Everything.
Oh, well, yeah. That's pretty good. But specifically in Don John.
Yeah, she was pretty damn smoking in that.
She was.
Or, you know, you could just watch Under the Skin where she's nude.
Yeah, but that takes the fun away from it.
Yeah, she looks hotter, I find, in Don John with clothes.
And then don't forget, on Under the Skin, a friend of ours is in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. Did you know that Adam Pearson, Radioactive Monkey, was in Under the Skin?
What?
Yes.
As an extra?
The cab driver or whatever. The guy with the weird face.
Really?
That's Radioactive
He's
Monkey.
In it.
Yes.
What the fuck? He's a star.
Yeah.
There you go.
Go to YouTube and type in Adam Pearson.
He's like a big star now. That's awesome. Can I have your autograph, Radioactive Monkey, if you're listening? Best name ever.
I'll skip this question. That's
okay. I got a couple. Yeah.
You're not into chicks, too? Don't women find other women attractive?
You appreciate the beauty.
Yeah, there you
go.
Yeah,
I would need a couple hours to think about it, though. It's not like I watched a movie and I'm like, yeah, she's hot.
But off the top of your head, can you think of one actress you watched a movie and you're like, wow, like I'd love to if I was a lesbian?
Okay, how about Kevbo? You talk and then I'll think.
I got a few. Denise Richards in Wild Things.
Okay.
We got this might be a surprising one. Diane Lane in Unfaithful.
Diane Lane? What are you, a MILF hunter now?
Hey, remember, this is like, what, 15 years ago? 10, 15 years ago?
She was a MILF 15 years ago.
And she was...
She was born a MILF.
And she was damn hot in it. And the last one I would say is Jamie Chung in The Man with the Iron Fist.
Yeah, yeah, okay, I'll agree
with you. Pfeiffer in Batman Returns. She was looking good there.
Similarly, Anne Hathaway in...
Yes, Anne Hathaway was the hottest cat.
Anne Hathaway in a lot of things. She looks really good.
She was the skin-tight suit.
I find she usually looks terrible, but...
Yeah, like since she chopped her hair, she looks like a lesbian.
It was the attitude in the movie.
I agree. The attitude does make part of it. And when Scarlett Johansson slutted it up and had like kind of sexy attitude, especially in Don John, she was better. Okay, we got Brian from Tunes. Oh, no, actually, next is...
Antoine Harris.
Yeah, Antoine Harris, by the way, at Twain VA. Does anyone ever mistaken Cam Gigandet?
Gigandet.
Cam Gigandet for Kalan Lutz and vice versa? I have no idea who either of those are.
I know, Kalan Lutz was one of the two new Herculeses.
Okay.
He's in the non-rocker version of Hercules. And Cam Gigandet is in, I believe, Insurgents and Divergent and everything with Shailene Woodley.
Okay. Does anybody mistaken them?
I haven't, because I noticed their names whenever it appears on screen before the actor actually appears on the screen.
I apologize for my ignorance at Twain VA. Brian from Toons, in anticipation of the Batman Superman movie, impending nerdgasm, I am purchasing stock in movie theater cleaning supplies. Hashtag OSATM.
I don't think there's a company that specifies in that, but waste management is probably his best bet because they take away all the garbage from the cinema.
I feel bad for those
poor little usher bastards who have to clean up all that freaking nerd splooge all over the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, old school used to be one. No?
It's true. I don't remember having to clean nerd splooge specifically.
I don't think there's ever been something nerdgasm enough. We barely had the internet while you were working at your cinema. So.
That's a good point, yeah. I mean, just bring a plastic bag and cover the seat with it, I guess, or paper towels, I don't know, a sock.
Dollar
rent. I don't know.
You buy some garbage bags.
And just like completely explode all over your seat. But, you know, at least, yeah. All right, thank you. we got Brian again. Turtle Sunshine of the Spotless Mind is one of my all-time favorites. Disturbing, but not necessarily a mind fuck. Yeah, I would agree with that, actually. Great movie.
I love that movie.
Yes.
I love that movie.
Kate Winslet.
Yeah. I never buy movies. I just watch them.
Yeah.
And that one I actually bought.
You bought that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys agree?
Yeah.
All right. This is from WIRX Kata. This fucking weirdo. I love this guy. Toy Story 4 to be released in 2017.
Oh, my God.
Fuck yeah. Who's excited? LMAO.
I'm excited.
Is this excited?
Is it true?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, my goodness.
Heavy set. You into this?
Yeah.
How about...
Oh,
sounds excited.
I'm definitely excited for this one. I thought when the third one ended, that was like, wow, it's like, wow, that was a really good movie. And the fact that they left certain things kind of open of him going to this. I mean, all these toys going to this new house, and I'm actually curious to see where they go with it now.
It better not suck.
It won't suck.
I'll be very upset.
Nah, they've got too much money invested in this to suck. Brian from Toons again at oldmovies.net. Also, Seven. Whoever says they saw that movie unfolding, how it was going to happen, is a liar. Hashtag OSATM.
Come on, read it exact.
I know. I was trying to salvage it.
Say word stuff to get stuff words.
How are you going to make fun of the Southerners?
Oh, come on. Whoever says they saw that movie unfolding how it did is a liar. That's not actually too bad. The way you started saying it, you made him sound like he was an inbred retard or something.
You know what the problem is? He said whoever. It's supposed to be whomever. That got all me tripped up. Whatever. Yeah, exactly.
He's close enough. It could have been a lot worse.
So. Right. Hey, DRG is a new listener. Thank you very much for your support. And he tweets, listening to my first episode of hashtag OSATM on the Trending Topics Network, Mindfuck Movies is the perfect topic to start with. If you ask me, I agree. Thank you very much for your support.
I think Shark Night episode is the best to start with.
The Carbs Bargain Bin.
My next bargain bin. And then my Versus Movies, which I suggested we should do an episode in. So.
And then the Porn Bargain Bin as well. Check that out.
The Shark one was by far
the Shark. Yeah, is your favorite? My favorite was Music and Movies was up there. The 2013 year in review and the triple Batman episode. It was way too long. It was fantastic. Who else? What's your favorite episode, Kev?
I've mentioned it before, the first one.
The first ever
first
one?
Ever episode.
What about our Resident Evil retrospective?
Yeah. Well, that's obviously there. But it was the first one, I know we spent like 20 minutes just on the box office. Yeah. I mean, there was some explaining in that, but I thought we got some great analysis and, kind of got the ball rolling.
And if you guys want to check out the archive episodes, all of them are available at oldmovies.net. There is a episode archive page, and you can listen to our horrible episode one. Actually, I thought it was pretty good. The quality's a bit in it, but we're kind of getting used to the whole thing. I mean, everybody's like that, too. I cringe listening to it because I have OCD, and I don't like the fact that there were a lot of audio issues. But, entertaining-wise, it was very good for our first episode. Okay, we got a lot of feedback this week.
Is mine there?
Did you tweet? Oh,
I did tweet.
We'll check yours after. We got Brian again from Toons. No, we have DRG again. Yes, Shutter Island. That movie was excellent. I fucking agree. That was a great. That should be mentioned more. That was a great movie. Mop Jockey, hashtag OSATM. Personal favorite mindfuck movies, American Psycho and Clockwork Orange. American Psycho 2 is one of Nolan's best movies, and it does not get enough recognition.
Did you say American Psycho 2?
No, I said American Psycho.
Okay, but you actually said American Psycho 2 the way you said it. And I'm like, no, American Psycho 2 was terrible.
What are you jumping on me for? What are you so aggressive?
Because I just naturally am.
You make me feel very uncomfortable. At Twain VA, would Dune 1980s version and Myst be considered mindfuck movies?
I disagree with Myst. I don't think it's a mindfuck until the ending.
Yeah, but that's – we were talking about like markup endings and I don't know. I think maybe Dune.
The thing is, the original Dune just had a lot of budget constraints, so it was...
How about Identity?
Identity was, yeah.
Yeah, I'd agree. That's on there.
Good, nice twist ending.
I have to say, though, I was listening to the episode, and I love mindfuck movies. You guys said so many good titles that I've never seen, but spoiled them all.
Hey, you guys know that with the older movies, there are spoiler alerts.
Yeah, if it's past a year, I think you're allowed.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm not going to watch nothing because of you guys.
Well, you...
Good job.
Listen, if I'm spoiling Crying Game for you, you need to watch more movies. I'm sorry.
Did you say Nolan was American Psycho?
Yeah, wasn't he American Psycho?
No, it was Bret Easton Ellis.
You sure about that?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking on IMDb. Bret Easton Ellis, Mary Harron, and Guinevere Turner.
It was something with American in it.
He's done nothing with American in the word as a writer.
Bale, he was like a murderer.
Okay, Christian Bale was in American Psycho.
I watched the two movies that fucked me up were The Game.
Okay.
And
The Game.
Yeah, and there was another one.
That's so familiar. Why can't I remember it?
The Game was amazing.
Studio with OSATM tonight.
Yeah, she is.
Before that.
What?
Huh? Oh, no. It's after that. Anyways,
The Game and The Others. Was really good too. Did you ever see The Others?
The Others. Both are super
familiar. With Nicole Kidman, I think it was.
Oh, The Others where she's... Oh.
Yeah, she's possessed or something?
She's a ghost, but she thinks the other people are ghosts.
Oh, that's fucking awesome. Why'd you spoil that for me? That's mean.
And the game was really good, too.
I don't like what happens to me.
The game was really awesome. The
game was really good. Oh, here it is. Oh, no, that's Mr. D.I.G. The game was excellent, and I wasn't expecting the end. Apocalypse Now is another worth noting. Apocalypse Now is a mindfuck.
All right, awesome. So thank you very much for all the feedback.
All wine aside, Saw 1 was amazing. I freaked out in the theater. Spotless Mind was great. Other fave of the game and the others. Six hours ago. Mine.
Oh, that's cool. Right. I just watched the episode. I just heard the episode.
Okay, cool. All right. So that's, thank you very much for the feedback. Keep that coming. We love your comments. Let's close the show. Plugs, final thoughts. Start with Cart.
For me, it is Movember. So I have my website up and going for mobro.co/mobro. That's mobro.co/killercarp, carp with a K. I'm hoping you attach this to the website.
Yeah, no problem.
To get some more donations. If you want to support men's health, mental, testicular, and prostate, please donate. Every single dollar counts. And as well, StableWars.com, as always, this week we have a USC pay-per-view. And as well, next week we'll be starting the Stable Wars WWE season.
Awesome. Check that out. And yeah, I'm going to give $10. I challenge everybody to give $10.
Also, for the adults who listen, you get a tax receipt for on your taxes. So you should also do it for tax purposes as well.
Hey, why not? Get a little tax break. Help a good cause and support Carp with his crazy mustache.
Oh, it's the classic Tom Selleck I'm going for.
Go for the... All right.
I'll give you money, Carp.
Right, there you go. All right. Kebo Trek, final thoughts.
I got nothing this week.
Can you... Okay. Can you actually have something at some point?
I sometimes have something.
Yeah, you're like, what's this Resident Evil show?
Sometimes I plug a photography site. Sometimes I plug Arrow.
You have all week to think of something.
I like to.
You literally do nothing.
I like to make mine be more meaningful rather than doing it every
okay,
week.
Okay, what's meaningful in I have nothing?
Because well, when I do bring something to the table, we sit back
nobody
and
cares.
Think, this is
nobody
important.
Cares.
Yeah, no, everybody's expecting.
You have no substance.
You can plug me if you want again, even though I'm here, because I'm not plugging myself.
So maybe you should be buying Izzy if she wants you to plug her.
You take that, Shia LaBeouf.
Evie said, plugs final thoughts.
OhioIndieReport.podbean.com, because I still don't have KFabe Sports Radio or KFabeSports.com back up yet. I'm actually debating on changing the name just so I can register a different domain and continue to go. But, yeah, we got that going on, NFL Easy Picks still every week. Maybe I'll have Cart back on again if we don't record at 1 o'clock in the morning. UFC pay-per-view, definitely check that out this week. My friend Jessica Evil Eye will be on that pay-per-view. And can we just talk about how awesome Ghostbusters versus Mythbusters on the Epic Rap Battles of History was this week? Anybody?
I've not seen that yet.
Do you guys watch Epic Rap Battles of History? I fucking love it.
I saw there was one with Bill Gates and Steve Jobs or something, and then there was another one with Hitler, and I'm trying to remember.
Darth Vader.
Yeah, Hogan was taking on Kim Jong-un or something. Yeah. Yes.
They're fucking hilarious, and Ghostbusters versus Mythbusters is right up there.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Heavy Set. So, we got
How Izzah. Dare you?
I'm so sorry. She's in studio, too. She gave me the eye. Izzah,
you plug. Felt the eye.
I literally felt her eye. Figuratively. Plugs, final thoughts.
Thanks for having me.
Yes.
And plugs, can I plug my podcast?
Absolutely, you can plug your podcast.
Awesome podcast called All Wine Aside. So allwineaside.com. Three girls drinking lots of wine and talking about issues.
It's actually really good.
I
they have very
do a
good
beer
chemistry.
Version about that.
Yeah, actually, you should come on my podcast and drink beer, and then we'll talk about it's about real real life issues, so the news or relationships or anything else.
Yeah,
and you can also tag us.
It's a great idea for me.
Let's do it, man. allwineaside.com.
I think we should all drink beer and do an episode, and then maybe by the end of the episode. Kemo will have his own final thought. Even if he pulls a Jerry Springer final thought and gets very insightful for a final thought, that would be hilarious.
I'm not too worried about insightful and Kevbo being the same thing. So.
He'll probably just fall asleep.
There you go. All right, so for Kev...
No, he didn't fall asleep. Sorry, he was on mute.
Hey.
Hey, there you go. He's still alive. All right, so for Kebo Trek, Heavy Set, Carp, and Izzah.
Woo!
I'm Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
From Bryan Singer, the director with the mutant power to make Red Ratner disappear, comes X-Men Days of Future Past. If First Class wasn't enough prequel for you, and Last Stand wasn't last enough for you, experience the prequel sequel that made the worst X-Men movie irrelevant, and the worst Wolverine movie into a bad dream. It's okay, it's okay. It's all gone now. Shh. Journey to a time when humanity and mutants alike are trapped in a Tron Legacy prison, where only the plot of Terminator 2 can save them, as an indestructible badass gets sent back in time, without his clothes, to protect a vulnerable young man with long hair, who will one day become a leader and stop a shapeshifter from destroying the future.
That's awesome.
Who sent you?
You did. The person who sent me was you.
What? World full of other cool X-Men. Meet Wolverine for the seventh f***ing time. Hugh Jackman returns to the role he could play in his sleep by now, which he does. Watch as he's sent back to alter history the only way he knows how. Spoiler alerts.
You and I are going to be good friends.
I spent a lot of years trying to bring you down, Bob.
I was your most helpless student.
In the future, why make it?
Come.
Spend the other half of your time with characters like Charles Xavier, the young mutant heroin addict, Hank McCoy, his enabler.
I added a little extra because you missed a dose.
Quicksilver, a mutant so powerful he could single-handedly solve every problem the X-Men will ever have, which is probably why they leave him at home. And Mystique, a mutant so stubborn she'd rather cause the apocalypse than listen to reason.
Humans use your blood, your genes, to create a weapon that wipes us all out.
Please, do not make us the enemy today.
Get out of my head, Charles!
If you kill Trask, you'll be creating countless more just like him.
And I'll kill them too.
When your psychic friend, his mortal enemy, and a dude from the future are all telling you the same thing, you should probably listen to him, idiot. So get ready for a superpowered snuff film where everyone dies. But also, nobody dies. And witness an epilogue that ties up all loose ends, where all your favorite X-Men show up alive and well, which totally undermines the stakes of X-Men Apocalypse. But who cares? This scene was awesome. Top that, Avengers. Starring PowerPoint. Magnets. How do they work? The Flash. Reverse Austin Powers. Storm Thurmond. Miss T. Kelsey Syntax. Old Nito. Megamind. The other gay Ellen. I'm Tiny Ron Burgundy. And Ultron. X-Men. Time
Tiny
Cop.
Ron Burgundy. X-Men Time Cop.
So if this movie takes place in 1973 and Wolverine Origins takes place in 1986, Charles is going to go from this to this in 13 years? Yikes.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
You guys doing your podcast after this?
No, we did it already.
Ah, we already did it.
What were the topics?
It was pretty quick.
You get that a lot of here.
You take that, Shia LaBeouf.
I invited me, so shut your mouth, you whore.
He's like, he's the pity fuck of old school at the movies.
I'm the what now? Gonna go burn down your house and leave you trapped in your house?
Could you imagine if we had all the audio from every single show where Kevin said, oops, sorry, I'm on mute. Oops, sorry, I'm on mute. Oops, sorry, I was on mute. Oops, sorry, that's I was actually, on mute.
That's actually going to be the episode 100, like, post clip. He's going to say, oops, sorry, I'm on mute, and for like 20 minutes.
I'm so doing it.
All right, Carr, break down the numbers for us this week. Yeah.
I thought American, maybe the part in American Psycho would help him get
the guy. Yeah, I don't know what the fuck he's saying. Say it again, man. You're fucking, you got H. Walker internet. H. Walker as a man, China. Yeah, H. Walker internet.